نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله سبحانه وتعالى describes the Quran Majid saying فيه هدى للمتقين. It is a divine kitab, a divine scripture which contains guidance for the people of taqwa. Hence when a person recites the Quran Majid, then one will notice from page to page, from verse to verse, from chapter to chapter, the subject matter differs, the mode of address changes, and the topics addressed and being discussed change as well. So at times there are masail of deen which are discussed. At times there are rewards and virtues of righteous actions which are mentioned. At times Allah Ta'ala informs us and warns us of punishments for certain sins. At times the scenes of Qiyamah are described. And at times there are certain incidents which are mentioned as well. But bearing in mind that the Quran Majid is a kitab of hidayat and guidance for mankind, when an incident is discussed, it is for the guidance of mankind, to highlight certain pertinent points, to elucidate essential lessons for the guidance of mankind. In the Quran Majid, one such incident which is discussed is the rather unique incident of Hazrat Nabi Musa alayhi salam encountering and meeting Hazrat Khazir alayhi salam. This incident is unique as far as this aspect is concerned. That is one of the few incidents which shed light on the department of taqween. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted two separate departments in relation to this world. One is the department of tashri'. Tashri' means and refers to establishing the deen of Allah ta'ala and propagating the shariat, teaching people how to worship Allah ta'ala, guiding them and showing them right from wrong. And this department of tashri' and establishing the shariat was the department entrusted to the anbiya alayhi salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in comparison to this department is the department of taqween. And this refers to the worldly administration of affairs, of incidents, and of occurrences that transpire and unfold in the world. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, being the Nabi of Allah ta'ala, was entrusted with the department of tashri'. And in this particular incident, he met Khazir alayhi salam, who was a servant whom Allah ta'ala was using to carry out and administrate in regard to certain affairs of the taqween of the dunya. Now the background to this incident transpiring is that on one occasion Hazrat Nabi Musa alayhi salam was delivering a bayan to the Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala blessed Nabi Musa alayhi salam, where his speech contained such an effect on the hearts of the people that on hearing his words, the people were completely affected. They were overcome by tears and they began to weep abundantly. Nevertheless, after Nabi Musa alayhi salam concluded his bayan, a certain person comes up to Nabi Musa alayhi salam and inquires, asking that, O Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, tell me, who is the person, who is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who possesses the most knowledge? Bearing in mind that Nabi Musa alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and no person can possess more knowledge of deen than the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Musa alayhi salam replied that, I have the most knowledge. Viewing the response of Nabi Musa alayhi salam in this light, we understand that the response of Nabi Musa alayhi salam was correct. It was not an incorrect response. However, there would have been a better way for Nabi Musa alayhi salam to answer, which would have been for him to rather say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So in order to bring this to the attention of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala reveals wahi to Nabi Musa alayhi salam and tells him that there is a certain servant of ours who possesses more knowledge than you. However, this knowledge, as we have mentioned, is not the knowledge of the shariat, it is the knowledge of administration of the dunya. So when we have understood this, then we will realize that although this person possessed more knowledge of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, more knowledge than Nabi Musa alayhi salam, When this knowledge was a knowledge relating to administration of the dunya, not knowledge of shariat, it does not in any way mean that he was superior to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Because Nabi Musa alayhi salam's knowledge was the knowledge of deen, which is superior to every type of knowledge. So when he came to the knowledge of deen, when Nabi Musa alayhi salam had the most knowledge, that meant he was the most superior person on the surface of the earth at that time. But Nabi Musa alayhi salam's jazba to acquire the knowledge of, to acquire knowledge was such, that as soon as he heard that there is a person who has more knowledge than him, even if it is a different type of knowledge, he tells Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I want to go and meet this person and benefit from this person. Where is this person? So Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that he is at a place known as Majma'ul Bahrain. He is at a place where the two oceans meet. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam sets out to meet this person. And he takes with him a young person known as Hazrat Yusha alayhi salam, who was later on blessed with Nubuwwat by Allah Ta'ala as well. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that when you go on this journey, then you should take a fish with you. It was a cooked fish that they took. And Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that at some point during this journey of yours, this fish is going to jump into the water. When this transpires, you must know that this is the place where you will be meeting this person. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam sets out with Hazrat Yusha alayhi salam, and they are walking and they are walking and they are traveling. And at some point, they pause in their journey to take a rest. While Nabi Musa alayhi salam is resting, this fish, which was cooked completely lifeless and dead, leaps out of the basket into the water. The Yusha alayhi salam witnesses this, he beholds a spectacle. But somehow he forgets to mention it to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam completes resting, they continue on their journey, until eventually he becomes very, very tired. So he tells Hazrat Yusha alayhi salam, "Atina ghada'ana, bring the fish, let us eat it for lunch. Laqad laqina min safarina hadha nasaba. We have now reached a point where we are quite tired and exhausted in this journey of ours." Before that point, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was not tired. Now he had surpassed that point, Allah Ta'ala made it such that he began to feel tired. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam mentioned the lunch and the fish, now Hazrat Yusha alayhi salam remembers. So he tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that this is what transpired. The fish jumped into the water, but I completely forgot to mention it to you. And he mentions, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا شَيْطَانُ وَنَأْذْكُرَهُ. It was shaitan that caused me to forget to mention this to you. So when he describes what happened with the fish, Nabi Musa alayhi salam tells him, هَذَا مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. This is exactly the sign that we were looking for. So he realizes that they had walked past the place where they were supposed to meet the special servant of Allah Ta'ala. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. They immediately turn around and began to retrace their steps, returning to the original point where that fish had jumped into the water. When they come to that place, they find a certain servant of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wrapped in a shawl. And Abi Musa alayhi salam greets him with salam. Hearing salam, this person is very, very surprised. He says, in this part of the world, where are there any people who greet with salam? Who are you? So Nabi Musa alayhi salam identifies himself by taking his name. And this person, Khadir alayhi salam, was familiar with the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So hearing the name, he asks, are you the same Nabi Musa of the Banu Israel? So Nabi Musa alayhi salam says, yes, I am the one and the same person. Then Nabi Musa alayhi salam makes a request to this person, to Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam. He tells him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكْ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْتَ. That I ask you permission to accompany you, to follow you, to stay with you for some time, so that I can benefit from you and acquire some of the special knowledge which Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with. Now Khazir alayhi salam knew beforehand that Nabi Musa alayhi salam is the imam of that time of the shariat. He has been entrusted with upholding the shariat of Allah Ta'ala and teaching deen to the people. In other words, he is an embodiment of the shariat. If he sees anything which takes place, which outwardly seems to be haram, which seems to be evil and wrong, it is impossible for him to remain silent. He will have to uphold the haq, apprehend the perpetrator, and correct the situation. But Nabi Khazir alayhi salam at the same time knew that Allah Ta'ala has given him certain responsibilities to carry out. Outwardly, if a person views these responsibilities and these actions of his, a person will find them objectionable. A person will not understand why he is doing what he is doing. And based on this, the person is going to object and say, why are you doing this? It is wrong. So he tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam beforehand that you will not manage to stay with me. And he tells him, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. I do not expect you to have the patience to stay with me when you don't have the necessary information, you don't have the full picture of the things that I'm going to be doing. But Nabi Musa alayhi salam is eager to remain with him and benefit from him. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam tells him, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. Inshallah, you will find, I will try to withhold, I will try to withstand, I will try to exercise some restraint. وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. If you give me any instruction, I will try my very best to fulfill your instruction. So having made this proposal, Khazir alayhi salam accepts and says, you may accompany me. But he gives one condition. He says, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدَثَ لَكَ ذِكْرًا. He says, don't ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Don't ask me any question unless I myself raise the topic and am prepared to discuss it. If I don't mention it, then don't ask. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam agrees. And they set out on their journey. And as they are traveling, they come to a certain river. Coming to the river, they need to cross over the river. They find some people who have a boat. And they go aboard this boat and they begin to travel. The people, the owners of this boat, they are familiar with Khazir alayhi salam. And they wish to do him a favor. They wish to show him some kindness. So they tell him, we will transport you for free. We will not even take a fee to transport you. While they are traveling on this boat, a small bird comes. It dips its small beak into the water of the river and drinks from the water. So observing the spectacle, Khazir alayhi salam tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that your knowledge and my knowledge combined is not even equal to the drop of water on the beak of this bird compared to the water in the river, which can be compared to the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam had the most knowledge of Shariat, imagine the amount of knowledge he had. When Khazir alayhi salam had that complete, had all the knowledge Allah Ta'ala had blessed him regarding the taqween and administration of the dunya, then perhaps at that time there were not two people more knowledgeable than these two. Yet he says, our combined knowledge is like that drop of water compared to the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, which is even greater than this river because the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala is infinite. From this we understand how minute our knowledge and understanding is compared to the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nevertheless, as they are concluding the journey, Khazir alayhi salam does the first thing which Nabi Musa alayhi salam finds objectionable. He goes to the hull of the boat, the front section. He takes a plank from the boat and he breaks it out. In other words, he damages the property of these two of the people who own the boat. And Nabi Musa alayhi salam cannot understand why he has done this. He tells him, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. You have made a breach in the hull of this boat, as a result of which these people can drown. He tells him, لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. You have done something which is terrible. Bearing in mind that these people had shown kindness to Khazir alayhi salam, one is Islam tells us we should be kind to every person. And over and above that, hal jaza'ul ihsani illa al-ihsan, we should be even more particular to be kind to those who are kind to us, to repay kindness with kindness. He tells Khazir alayhi salam, these people showed you kindness. You repay their kindness by damaging your property. Is this the way to conduct? So Khazir alayhi salam immediately tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam that you are not supposed to ask me any question. Why are you asking me? So Nabi Musa alayhi salam asks him for maafi. He says, okay, I made a mistake. Overlook it and I will try in future to restrain myself. I won't ask you anything. But from this we can just see the jazba of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He is such an embodiment of righteousness, such an embodiment of the Shariat, that if something haram is taking place, something wrong is taking place, he cannot overlook it, he can't turn a blind eye. He cannot pretend as if he did not see what happened. Rather, he has to stand for the Shariat without any fear of what can happen to him, without any consideration that, no, what will happen afterwards. All he knows is, this is the deen of Allah Ta'ala. I have to uphold the deen of Allah Ta'ala. This is right and this is wrong. Nevertheless, they continue from there. And the second occurrence transpires. They come across a small group of youth who are playing with one another. Young children. Khazir alayhi salam goes to one of these young children. And he grabs his head and he pulls the head with such force that he separates the head from the shoulders and he kills this young child. This in the eyes of any person is murder. Murder of who? A young innocent child. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam immediately objects. He says, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. You have killed, you have taken a life unjustly, because it was not in exchange of another life. If a person is guilty of murder, yes, we can understand a life for a life. This is a young innocent child. He's a masoom child. Why did you go and kill this child? So Khazir alayhi salam once again tells him, you are not supposed to ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing. That is the agreement that we had. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam tells him, okay, I will not ask you in future. He tells him, if I ask you again, then you have complete justification to then part ways with me, because I'm not adhering to our agreement. So they then continue and they come to the final and last occurrence, or the last thing that transpires. They come to a certain village. They request the people of the village to at least give them a meal for the night. And this is a normal, this is something which is normal, a principle which is expected from all people, that if mehman come to any place, then at the very least they should be hosted and given one meal for the night. That is something normal expected from all people. Yet this normal, common consideration which should be shown to guests, these people don't even have that much in them. Rather, they blankly refused. They turned Khazir alayhi salam and Nabi Musa alayhi salam away. They did not give them anything. They left them with empty stomachs for the night. And despite this, Khazir alayhi salam goes in the town. He sees a wall which was in a damaged state, in need of some repair. He repairs the wall and he strengthens it and he makes it upright again. Nabi Musa alayhi salam tells him, لَبِتَّخَسْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. At the very least, you did some work for these people. You should have at least charged them and taken some money. They didn't want to feed you and show you the common courtesy which is extended to all guests. You did some work for them. You should have at least taken some money for it. We could have eaten. So what Nabi Musa alayhi salam was perhaps thinking was, when the people on the ship showed you kindness, you repaid kindness by damaging their things. And these people showed you bad behavior, ill conduct, and now you're being good to them. So I can't understand what's going on here. So we find that at every instance, in all three occurrences, Nabi Musa alayhi salam outwardly could not understand or could not find any wisdom or reasoning behind the actions of Khazir alayhi salam. Outwardly it seemed illogical, and at times it even seemed reprehensible. When he killed that young child, Nabi Musa alayhi salam told him, لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. You have perpetrated an action which is extremely evil and heinous. Completely unacceptable. How could you kill this child? Nevertheless, on the third time, now Khazir alayhi salam tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. The time has now come for us to part ways. Because now you have asked me one time too many. And then he tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you did not have the patience to wait for me to explain the reason of the actions to you. But now I will tell you the reason behind every action that I carried out. So he commences from the beginning. He tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam, that as regards to the boat, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةِ, regarding that boat which are damaged. فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. It belonged to some people who were quite poor, they're not well off. They were working very hard, transporting people in the water and across the river. فَأَرَدْتُ وَنَعِيبَهَا. He says, I deliberately created this damage to this boat. Why did I deliberately damage the boat? وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكْ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبَهَا. He said, the place where they're from, there's a king in that place, he's a very oppressive and unjust king, he's a tyrant ruler. And he was confiscating everybody's boats, appropriating their boats without any compensation, taking it unrightfully for himself. The only boat that would be spared from this man's zulm is a damaged boat. So by me damaging the property of these people, outwardly it looked like I was causing them harm and I did not wish them well, but in reality I was saving them from a greater problem. Allah Ta'ala gave me this work to do. Allah Ta'ala told me why I am doing it. Outwardly you found my action to be objectionable, but now that you can see behind the scenes, you can see that what I did was actually a good thing. Now Nabi Musa alayhi salam understands. Then he goes on to the second incident. Wa ammal ghulam. He says, regarding that young child that I killed, فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ. He says his two parents, mother and father, believe in Allah Ta'ala, the two pious people. فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. He says, but Allah Ta'ala informed me that Allah Ta'ala knows in his knowledge that if this young child has to grow up, then one day later on in life, he will impose disbelief and guna and kufr on his parents. And this is the reality which people see all the time. How many a time we see that there's a household where the mother and father are inclined towards righteousness and piety. Perhaps there's no TV in the home. Now the day this young child grows up in the home, he brings the TV in. The father loves the child, he doesn't have the heart to tell his child anything, so he keeps quiet. So on account of the child, the father begins to compromise his deen. After some time, perhaps that father will sit and watch the TV with his child as well. So very often, because of the love for the child causes the father to fall into sin. At times, this child can cause the father to leave the fold of Islam as well. Sometimes the father is running his business in a certain way, completely Sharia compliant. When the child comes of age, he joins the father in the business. And now he says, Papa, let's go to the bank, let's take finance, let's do this, let's do that. And through this child now, that business from being Sharia compliant becomes a haram business. So this child takes the father into sin, he takes the mother into sin, and he pulls them into all the problems. So Khazir alayhi salam tells Nabi Musa alayhi salam, this is what we had anticipated, this is what Allah Ta'ala knows. So by taking the life of this child, we save the parents. أَيُبْدِلَهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاتًا وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. And Allah Ta'ala is capable of blessing them with another child, which will be a pious child, and who they will be closer to them and more beloved to them as well. If you look at what happened here, number one, the iman of those parents was saved. And there's no price which is too great to pay for a person to save his iman. Secondly, by this child being killed at a young age, this child is masoom. This child has no answerability in its akhirah. This child also will go to Jannat. Now we see that what seemed to be لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْءًا nukra, completely heinous crime, in reality was for the good and the benefit of all the parties involved. So yes, there would have been some heartache at that time. There have been a tragedy at that time. But once a person understands what was going on behind the scenes, now he says, Alhamdulillah, it was really for the best. And regarding the final incident, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. He says that wall, that area of land and that wall belonged to two orphans living in that city. And beneath that wall, there is a treasure that is buried. Because that wall was in a state of disrepair, it could have fallen and collapsed at any time, revealing the treasure buried beneath. If that had to happen, then obviously these two young children are orphans. They cannot stand up for their right. They cannot defend their wealth. They cannot claim what is theirs. That wealth would have been usurped in no time. So Khazir alayhi salam explains, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a pious man. On account of the piety of the father, Allah Ta'ala wanted to look after these two youngsters. The barakat of the father, these youngsters' haq must be protected. That is why I rebuilt that wall, so that this wall will last for many more years, until these youngsters balagha ashuddahuma, when they reach the age where they are now strong, they are capable of standing up for themselves, wayastakhrija kanzahuma, and they will be able to take out that money on their own. He said, this is the reason why the people treated me badly, but I still did this. The Mufassirin explain that in the Quran Majeedun, Allah Ta'ala says it was on account of the piety of the father that Allah Ta'ala made this divine intizam to look after these children. It was not their direct father. It was a forefather approximately 7 generations before. So Mufassirin explain, we can understand when a man has piety in his life and he makes dua for his progeny, then the goodness, the barakah and the righteousness of this man has a long-lasting effect in his progeny. Not only his children, his grandchildren, for so many generations they can continue to benefit from this person. Furthermore, when this person was loyal to Allah Ta'ala, he was worried about pleasing Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala saw to the dunyawi safety of his progeny, let alone the deen of his progeny. So today very often people have concern and worry for the dunya of their progeny. It is a valid concern, it's a jais concern. And to make provision for the dunyawi and financial safety and security of a person's progeny is something which is jais and sensible as well. But we find to do that at the expense of their dini and imani safety is not intelligent. Because Allah Ta'ala is the giver. And as we have seen in this incident, when a person turns to Allah Ta'ala, places his trust in Allah Ta'ala, Then a person will safeguard, Allah Ta'ala will safeguard this person not only in his deen, but also in his dunya, and also safeguard the dunya of his whole progeny as well. So nevertheless, this was the essence of what transpired in the incident of Khazir alayhi salam and Musa, Nabi Hazrat Nabi Musa alayhi salam. When we examine this incident, there are a few things which stand out in particular. And the thing which stands out the most, perhaps, is that Nabi Musa alayhi salam viewed certain incidents and outwardly could not understand what was happening. And afterwards, Khazir alayhi salam showed him that, no, this is the reality of what was happening, which you could not perceive. So we find as insan, Allah Ta'ala has granted us a faculty of intelligence and understanding. And our rationale, our understanding, our intelligence will arrive at conclusions and will make decisions based on the information it has before it. The information we have is harvested, gathered and collated by our senses. So we have our eyesight, we see certain things. That is stored in the brain. We hear certain information. We can smell certain things, we can taste certain things, we can touch certain things. All these are our senses. The input of all these senses is then before us, and based on what we perceive from these senses, we arrive at a certain conclusion. But as capable as a person may be in his intelligence, and as strong as his senses may be, they are limited and they stop at a certain point. Even a person with the strongest eyesight can only see so far. A person with the strongest hearing can only hear so far. There are certain things which are beyond his range of hearing. So our senses are completely limited at some point. There's a point where they cannot go any further. They cannot progress anymore. Likewise, our intelligence is limited. There's only so much of information and understanding that a person can digest. If a person has completely mastered a certain science, for him to now go and master another science becomes very difficult. For example, perhaps he's a completely experienced and accomplished cardiac surgeon, surgeon of the heart. For him to now go and master plumbing will be difficult. He's completely separate. So yes, he's accomplished in one field. For him to get knowledge of another field is difficult. So our understanding and knowledge also is limited. So there are certain things which we see in the world. There are certain things which transpire in our lives, in the lives of people around us. Outwardly, based on what we perceive and see, we sometimes arrive at a certain conclusion. Maybe we are unhappy with what happened. Maybe we find it very, very difficult. At times, maybe a person objects and says, "Oh Allah, why you did this to me? Why at this time? Why to this person?" Little realizing that he only has a small piece of the whole puzzle, he cannot see the broader picture. When he cannot see the broader picture, that is why he is finding it difficult to come to terms and accept what has happened. But this is where the aspect of believing in the unseen comes. Because as human beings, for us to just reflect over how limited our perception is. A person buys a mango. The mango is right in front of him. He can see the mango, he can hold it. Using his senses, his five senses, he's very impressed with the mango. Yet he cuts it, it's rotten inside. What was under his nose, he couldn't even see behind the picture to see. This is the reality behind. When he cannot see the rot behind one simple mango skin, how can he expect that on the grand scale of the universe, the occurrences, the administration of Allah Ta'ala, how can he expect to understand what is going on behind everything? On one occasion, Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh mentioned to Imam Muzani rahmatullah alayh, it is a lengthy incident, but just one thing that he mentioned. He says, "Tell me, can you see all the stars in the sky?" He said, "I can see the stars in the sky." Do you know the names of all the stars? Do you have the complete information of all these stars?" He said, "No." "Can you see all the trees in the earth, all the plants in the earth?" "Yes." "Do you know the properties and the special effects and the medicinal benefits of all these herbs and plants?" He said, "No." He says, "You don't have the understanding of what's under your nose. How do you expect to understand the ghaib and things relating to the unseen of Allah Ta'ala?" So from this we understand that what we have before us, what we see before us, is a small piece of a broader picture. What we need to do is trust in Allah Ta'ala and know at all times, whatever happens is for the best. Allah Ta'ala knows, we don't know. It may be a bitter pill to swallow, but Allah Ta'ala knows what results and what goodness that pill will bring as an after effect. And going on from there, there's one more thing that we understand. When our knowledge is so limited and so deficient, then definitely the laws of deen, which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for the ummah and stipulated for the ummah, These laws will definitely be filled with goodness. They are filled with goodness and they are filled with wisdom. Whether we can perceive it or not, there will definitely be goodness in that. So for any person to begin to question the decisions of Allah, to begin to question the Shariat of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say, why is this like this? This should not be like this. This does not make sense, na'uzu billah. Yes, this is like the person who holds that mango, which is rotten on the inside, but based on the peel being intact, he's insisting that no, it is something else. When this person does not have the complete knowledge at his disposal, available to him, then what this person needs to do, instead of saying, seeing is believing, which is what a person is taught by the non-Muslims today. The non-Muslims today, everything is about rationalizing. What you see, what you can rationalize, what you can understand, that is exactly what we will accept. If something does not fit in the equation, in the formula of our rationalization, then it should be rejected by intellect and intelligence. So in essence, what they teach, seeing is believing. But again, on the very same page of the Quran al-Majid, where Allah Ta'ala says, هُدَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. A mu'min does not say, what I see is what I believe. A mu'min says, I believe in what I cannot see. That is what Allah Ta'ala has revealed to the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So in comparison to the short knowledge, the small knowledge that we have, where our five senses sees and cannot progress any further, beyond that, that knowledge is the knowledge which Allah Ta'ala revealed in Wahi to the Anbiya alayhimus salam, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That knowledge of the Akhirat, of Jannat and Jahannam, that knowledge where Allah Ta'ala says, the calamities which take place in earth, don't blame it on this phenomena, don't blame it on this outward cause. Yes, that is a sabab, but the real reason behind that is, for example, the gunas of people. That is what a mu'min will believe in. He says, I believe in the unseen, which Allah Ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to have complete yaqeen in His commands, to completely accept and be happy with the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رضينا بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.